The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
We're in a bit of a predicament.
The man was killed. Please take that we did it. We need to clear our names.
Oh, that's something.
It was killed because of something that he had seen.
Because of an organization who want to rule the world.
Rule the world. We need you good people to help us out.
It's the only hope that we have to get out of this situation.
Well, let's hope this goes well.
Well, that's the trailer for a brand new movie called Amsterdam. Set in the 1930s, it follows three friends who witness a murder. They're framed for it, but then they go on to uncover one of the most outrageous plots in American history. The cast features some of Hollywood's biggest names, including Margot Robbie, Robert De Niro, Chris Rock, Taylor Swift, and many more. The leading man is Christian Bale, who joins me on the line now. Christian Bale, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Now, the movie Amsterdam is described as a comedy, a mystery, a drama. It is all of that. I suspect it was great fun to shoot.
It was great fun to shoot. David and I put it together for years. However, we did also shoot this during a surge in the pandemic in Los Angeles. So it was a very raw feeling as well. You know, we were like delighted to have had the incredible cast, the incredible crew who decided that they wanted to join us on this journey, but then also like a very heightened awareness of literally death all around. We were testing like crazy, but it kind of did demand that we make it as bloody fun and joyous and as satisfying and meaningful as possible because of the times that we were shooting. Mm.
Now, your character, Dr. Bert Berenson, is a guy who served in World War One as a doctor, turns his back on Park Avenue to treat the war wounded, the shell-shocked, the amputees. Creating that character must have been fascinating.
It was a good trip. And by the way, though, he doesn't really turn his back on Park Avenue. Park Avenue turns its back on him.
Indeed.
Park Avenue kicks him out because his eyes are opened by serving, and particularly serving for the 369th Regiment, the Harlem Hellfighters. And then, you know, in this era of like just deplorable attitudes, you know, eugenics and sterilization clinics and all of that, he is considered now to be, you know, undesirable on Park Avenue. And so it begins a whole different journey for him. And these returning veterans who were promised to be treated as heroes, who were treated as anything but. And like with Harold's character, you know, fighting for their country and then returning to be treated like crap. And this was the era of like, you know, the Tulsa Massacre, etc. This pact, that's what David and I really wanted to focus on, was creating this trio of friends who just we wanted to be friends with, that we wanted to have that kind of a loyal friendship of people who were kind of forged in the crucible of the Great War and who just would do absolutely anything for each other. And these inspiring characters who, in spite of all of the losses and the injuries, both physical and mental, that they remain optimistic and remain fighters and refuse to resort to hatred.
Now, it's interesting, the three characters, yourself, you're a doctor who served and who was injured himself. Then there's John David Washington's character, who's a black soldier who ultimately becomes a lawyer. Then Margot Robbie's character, who's a socialite turned nurse and much else in the narrative. An unlikely trio, perhaps, you know, for that time, an impossible trio.
Right. And that's, you know, much of the point, that these wonderful characters who do want a friendship, and the two, you know, Valerie and Harold, the impossibility of them being together in their own country. Whereas at that time, France was far more respectful towards Harold and then Amsterdam. And he'd really felt, as he says in the film, what it was to live, but recognized there was a huge struggle to be had and a fight to be had, and they're up for a fight back in the United States. And when David and I first started talking about this, we had these notions of these different characters that we'd been talking about for a little while, but there was this revelation, which was incredible, an eye opener for David and myself, about this actual event in American history that very few people, ourselves included, knew about. And so we kind of knew, all right, that is going to be the backdrop To this story of friendship.
Yeah, and there is one element in the credits, which I won't give away because it would be something of a spoiler, but involves Robert De Niro's character, yeah. General Gil Dillenbach, and it quite surprised me when I saw it. But that thing you mentioned in history that it's loosely based on, I mean, this is about a plot to subvert the Roosevelt government by Nazi sympathizers in the United States.
Yep, yep. And there's nothing loosely based on that bit. You know, the characters that we created are fictional ones, but against a factual backdrop. So, yeah, I love that you responded to that ending where, you know, right, you're seeing the two juxtaposed, and hopefully people might want to actually go look it up later on after first and foremost experiencing this. You know, it's a wonderful, diverse film in many ways, you know, being sort of a screwball comedy, but set against incredibly serious circumstances, which is exactly what David wanted. Because the question we had is, how do you continue to love life when faced with such ugliness?
Now, the question of whether or not this is an allegory on something else occurred to me. I don't know whether this is true or just my imagination or my anti-Trump bias, but it seemed to me the film was a warning against the rise of demagoguery, of people who would do down the Constitution of the United States.
Well, look, that should be something that you as a viewer, you own that and you get to own the film. Whatever you think it stands for, you're right. You hate the film, you're right. You love the film, you're right. You think it is relevant to nowadays, you're correct. If you don't connect those dots, fine. As the film says, history repeats itself because it forgets itself. I'm sure you could imagine that in the 6 years when David and I were putting this together, we were stunned at what we were seeing evolve. Particularly in the United States.
Now, there was something else that occurred to me. The cop in the movie, the sidekick, who did not go to war, and the reason he didn't go to war, he got an exemption because he was flat-footed.
Yes.
And I was thinking of? The heel spur.
Yes.
Making of the movie itself, you recreate 1930s New York amazingly. And I, again, having been to New York, I was wondering where do you do it? Number one, is it New York? And how do you eliminate all the signs of modernity?
No, incredibly, we shot the entire thing in Los Angeles. Chibo, Emmanuel Lubezki, the DP, Judy Becker, production designer, incredible cast and crew who managed to put this all together. But no, we never left LA. And there were times when David had written the script and he was toying with, does he set it in LA? Does he set it in New York? But ultimately felt like through the history and the research that we'd done that it really had to be a New York-based story. But yeah, magic of the movies, never left LA. Yeah.
Now, someone has described in talking about the movie that the cast list actually doesn't look like a cast list. It looks like the invitation list to the Oscars ceremony. So many stars seemingly queued up to become part of this movie.
Incredibly gratifying to see that, you know, and hopefully, well, we like to look at it as an invitation to a party, you know. That's what we view the film as ourselves and the main characters' philosophies in life, in creating that, in maintaining that optimism and that joy of a party. But yeah, I mean, you know, when David and I first started, it was just him and me sitting there scribbling on napkins. And then all of a sudden, we just got the most magnificent cast and crew imaginable. We were very blessed by that.
Yeah. The presence of De Niro, who was a longtime Trump critic as well, may tell me something about that, the genesis of the movie. One other thing, and I don't know whether this was sort of in the background. I, as a child, saw The Great Dictator, the fabulous Charlie Chaplin movie made at the beginning of the war. And I'm wondering, was that in your consciousness or David's consciousness as director and writer?
I'm sure that was in David's consciousness. It wasn't in mine, I'm afraid. I'm a bit more of a Philistine when it comes to my film knowledge. But I'm certain that was in David's.
All right. Now, the film will be going worldwide, I suppose, very shortly. But I suspect that Christian Bale will already be looking to the next project.
No, not for a little while, because, you know, as a consequence of the pandemic, there ended up being a kind of an accordion effect, and I did three films last year. Nobody needs to see me that much, so I'll be stepping away for a little while.
All right. I should mention that Taylor Swift, for younger fans, is featured in a significant cameo role in the movie.
Yes. Yep, and singing beautifully with me singing horribly right next to her.
Yeah, no, that's charming.
It's charming to sing horribly, isn't it? Thank you for that. I'll view it that way too now.
I enjoyed the movie incredibly because it is. It begins very much in a comedic vein, and then it develops into quite a serious drama. And yes. I know that listeners are going to really enjoy it. It will be controversial and it will create many talking points, but that is the sign of a work well done.
Everything that you just said, thank you so much. That's what we wanted. And we wanted to create characters that you want to hang out with, you want to see, who are inspiring as well. And also, yeah, try to answer, how do you deal with the craziness, you know, the great, you know, very significant and often very sad stories that these sort of fat cats who run and ruin the world create, and how, as a you know, sort of air quotes, nobody, how do you deal with that, and how do you still get a sense of agency and still have joy in your life? So everything you said right there, fantastic. So glad that you felt that way about it. Thank you.
Christian Bale, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.